It's Thursday, March 19th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast, which today is just chock full of good news for the cannabis community. First, I want to make note of an important vote that just took place up in New Hampshire. The New Hampshire House Committee on Health, Human Services, and Elderly Affairs passed their medical marijuana measure 13-7. This means that this bill, House Bill 648, will go to the House floor for a full vote with an ought-to-pass recommendation. Good news for the Granite State. Also, good news in Pennsylvania, where Representative Mark Cohen says he will introduce a bill as soon as next month to legalize medical marijuana in the Keystone State. A great story we've got posted on the stash includes a quote from Robert Doherty, the chair of Philly Normal. So good to see Philly Normal getting in the news media out there in Pennsylvania. Also, the continuing popularity of marijuana legalization has caught the notice of the people at the online store Cafe Press. Normal's online store is also hosted there at Cafe Press, and they have noted how there are literally millions of shirts and mugs and all sorts of wares for sale that celebrate the marijuana leaf. So check them out at our Normal store, cafepress.com/NORML. We're also still taking your emails on politicians on pot. If you're new to this, what we mean is for you to email or write your state or federal representatives and tell them what you feel about legalizing marijuana or medical marijuana or hemp or whatever issue we talk about here on the stash. And when you get your response, send them back to me. I'll post them up here on the stash and have them all tagged and hyperlinked so people that are looking for what their representatives think can easily find them just by clicking a couple of states on the stash. It's also a good way to hold these people accountable so that they can't be spewing the same reefer madness lies year after year. We've recently got responses from Oregon Representative David Wu and a fantastic story about a Texas state representative, Democrat Robert Miklos. Now, he had posted a response to one of our stashers who had questioned him about medical marijuana, and Representative Miklos had said, "Although research has shown positive benefits relating to medical use of marijuana, I continue to support the laws as they currently stand regarding the illegality of the drug." Which led me to think, oh, so you know that it's helpful for people that are sick, but you still support locking them up. When our stasher went to Representative Miklos's town hall meeting and brought up this quote, the representative said he was misunderstood, that what he meant is he understands the studies exist, but he doesn't agree with them. Okay. Because why? Representative Miklos, you've got an advanced degree in science and medicine and you found flaws in the methodology? Or is it because the studies produced answers you just don't like? You can't just disagree with scientific fact, Representative, any more than you can declare pi equal to 3.0 because it makes the math easier. Your own words mean that you know that the research shows medical marijuana is true, and you just don't like the answer. So continue to send in those responses from your representatives. Send them here to stash@normal.org with the subject, Politicians on Pot. Now, coming up in today's Daily Audio Stash, like I said, lots more great news, including in our hemp headlines, where we'll discuss the announcement yesterday by Attorney General Eric Holder that clarified the federal policy on state medical marijuana laws. Coming up in our first interview segment, we get our Southern California report from cannabis correspondent Terry Joyce, who brings to us Jeffrey Peterson, the publisher of California Chronicle Triple X, a magazine that explores the alternative side of the cannabis community. Today's our Rockin' Thursday, so we'll have some great music for you from Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. And in our second interview segment, we're headed to Denver, Colorado, to speak with Warren Edson, a member of the Normal Legal Committee, on the explosion of the Colorado Medical Marijuana Program and storefront dispensaries opening up in Denver. Sometimes it seems like more good news just keeps coming out every day here in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition, and we are your one-stop station for learning all about it day after day. Visit us at stash.normal.org, create yourself an account, and get involved with the growing truth about cannabis. It's all about you. So sit back and relax, fire up a doobie, and enjoy your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Attorney General signals shift in marijuana policy. Washington, D.C. Attorney General Eric Holder signaled a change in medical marijuana policy Wednesday, saying federal agents will target marijuana distributors only when they violate both federal and state law. That would be a departure from the policy of the Bush administration, which targeted medical marijuana dispensaries in California, even if they complied with that state's law. Holder did not spell out exactly who no longer would face the prospect of raids by the Drug Enforcement Administration, but he was quick to add that law enforcement officers will target anyone who tries to, quote, use medical marijuana laws as a shield, end quote, for other illegal activity. The Attorney General said, quote, given the limited resources that we have, our focus will be on people, organizations that are growing, cultivating substantial amounts of marijuana, and doing so in a way that's inconsistent with federal and state law, end quote. This is a promising development, but it still leaves the question of prosecutions already in progress of California distributors or growers who were in compliance with California law, like Charles Lynch. I'm also curious as to whether the federal DEA will work with California law enforcement to help ensure that dispensaries are operating within California law. Does California get to decide the distributors are following state law, or does the DEA? First medical marijuana producer in New Mexico approved. Albuquerque, New Mexico. The State Department of Health has licensed a nonprofit business to produce medical marijuana. It's the first business approved under a state program that allows patients with specified conditions to have and use small amounts of marijuana. The department won't release the name of the business or where it is located, however. Department spokeswoman Deborah Buesmeyer says that's to ensure the supply is safe and that patients visiting the producer would not be put in jeopardy. She also says no one challenged the secrecy aspect in public hearings over regulations the department drew up to implement the medical cannabis program that went into effect in July 2007. The health department will tell patients how to contact the producer. Patient privacy requirements prevents the department from giving patient information to the producer. This is an amazing development, even though it does seem kind of weird to have a secret dispensary. I can understand why they're doing it, to try to protect the patients. Let's just hope that these types of regulations don't restrict too much the ability of nonprofits to serve the needs of the patients in New Mexico. Few tablespoons of pot found in Derek Kopp's off-campus apartment, lawyer says. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Police found only tablespoons of marijuana in Grand Valley State University student Derek Kopp's off-campus apartment the night he was shot by police during a drug raid, his lawyer said this afternoon. Attorney Fred Dilley said in a statement, quote, "To my knowledge, the raid resulted in the seizure of a few tablespoonfuls of marijuana and nothing more," end quote. He said his concern is the manner of the search carried about by the Western Michigan Enforcement Team, or WEMET, on Wednesday night. Kopp was shot in the chest and is recovering after suffering injuries to his ribs, lung, and liver. Dilley is also concerned about, quote, "the apparent lack of justification whatsoever for the use of force, much less deadly force, in executing a search warrant. The campus and Allendale communities are asking why. Why burst into a college student's apartment with a gun drawn for a few tablespoonfuls of pot?" End quote. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's standard operating procedure, that's why. But usually the suspects aren't shot. Usually their lives are ruined, their kids traumatized, their pets killed, and their property destroyed, and you never hear another word about it. Hydroponics invoice from High Times Advertiser led to arrest of sports columnist David Mayo. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Longtime Press sports columnist David Mayo, accused of growing marijuana in his Northeast Side home, was targeted for investigation after police tracked shipping invoices of a company that advertises in High Times magazine, court records showed. Armed with that information, police sought utility bills, which showed Mayo's electric use was more than twice that of his neighbors. Police also put his home under surveillance and determined he did not bring his trash to the curb, which is common among marijuana growers. Investigators in early January also noted, quote, "a large amount of mold," end quote, under the eaves of the outside of his house, which suggested to them strong grow lights were being used inside the residence, heating the room where marijuana was being grown and causing condensation on the exterior. Mayo bought, quote, "on 11 occasions, hydroponic growing equipment that is specialized in indoor marijuana growing," end quote, according to Sheriff's Detective Sergeant Todd Butler, who said local authorities received information from the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Program, a project of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Quote, "Operation Green Thumb has access to shipping invoices from suppliers who advertise their indoor marijuana growing equipment in magazines such as High Times. David Mayo bought his hydroponic equipment from one of the suppliers that do, in fact, advertise in this manner," end quote. Excuse me? Ordering perfectly legal indoor gardening equipment is enough reason for the cops to snoop into my electricity bills? Well, thanks for encouraging people to illegally hack into the electrical grid or run environmentally damaging off-grid generators. Who knew it was a crime to consume too much electricity? And what about the trash? Is it illegal now to handle your own trash? Could a person build their own compost and relentlessly reuse and recycle everything else? And mold on your eaves is suspicious? Damn, half the eco-serious Oregonians I know are guilty of not having waste management pickups and mold on their house. Attorney Bruce Block said police should have a higher standard to obtain a search warrant and said he would file a challenge in court. Block said, quote, "A man's home is his castle. You should have a very good reason to go in there. I'm just appalled. I'm just appalled. It's almost like search warrants are getting out of control. I guess I don't know how else to say it," end quote. He said the tactic was, quote, chilling, end quote, and should concern everyone. No one disputes the fact police found marijuana plants at various stages of growth and packed in mason jars, but Block said police had no right to go into Mayo's home in the first place. It would be different, he said, if police were called to Mayo's home for another reason and spotted marijuana in plain view. Block said, quote, remember, these grow lights are legal. This is not illegal stuff. You're not ordering something that is, per se, illegal, end quote. Yeah, Attorney Block, your home is your castle, unless your home is also your garden. And strangely enough, I got this other story that fits this same exact profile. Truck at hydroponics store traced, pot raided. Narcotics detective Michael Papa Michael kept seeing the same black Ford F-150 pickup truck parked behind Simply Hydroponics, a business that sells grow lights, nutrients, and other products designed for indoor agriculture. Excuse me for interrupting, but if you're Mr. and Mrs. Papa Michael, what on earth makes you name your child Michael? Sorry, I know a guy called Radical Russ Belville has no room to talk, but at least my folks had the decency not to name me Mel L. Belville. Papa Michael saw the truck five times between January 6th and February 19th, according to court documents released last week. And that got the detective thinking. He checked to see who that truck belonged to and where the driver might have set up an account with Progress Energy Corp for electricity. This is how the Pinellas County, Florida Sheriff's Narcotics Squad was led to a string of warehouses behind a US 19 strip plaza this month. There they found 460 marijuana plants and more than $12,000 in cash, court documents say. Alan Bednar, co-owner of Simply Hydroponics, was taken aback when he heard Tuesday that detectives identified a suspect by jotting down the license tag of a truck presumably driven by one of his customers. Bednar said, quote, if they don't have anything better to do, there's not much I can do about it. I'm surprised. It seems there are more problems around of a more serious nature, end quote. Bednar wondered aloud whether the sheriff's office was exposing itself to potential lawsuits through the surveillance technique. We're a gardening supply store, Bednar said. It caters to professors, students, and teachers, as well as homeowners, and if detectives begin showing up at their doors, it could be considered harassment, he said. Now you can't even park near a hydroponic store? This is literally outrageous. Detective Papa Michael, could you at least apply some of that bloodhound skill of yours toward eradicating a meth lab or two? I know you're a narcotics detective and therefore not directed to solve real crimes against persons or property, but you could find a better use for your time than spying on legal businesses and innocent customers who enjoy indoor gardening. Note to self, next trip to the hydro store, take a cab, wear a disguise, and pay cash.
So here's the deal. We've got this new president who seems really cool. I mean, the guy's well-spoken, he's open-minded, he seems to listen to people, and he's extremely well-educated. I mean, he graduated from Harvard Law School. But this is a guy who's admitted to smoking marijuana, that illegal leaf that just ruins people's lives. How could the president of the United States have ever done such a thing? Maybe because he knew it was less addictive than both alcohol and nicotine, and knew it can be consumed responsibly. But it's probably been a while since he smoked a joint. So if I had one thing to say to Barack Obama about cannabis, it would probably be something like, hey dude, I'm one of 80 million people in your country who has smoked marijuana, and so are you. Or maybe I would say over 700,000 people were arrested in this last year for marijuana-related charges. Or something like, let's re-examine this law altogether. Or possibly that $1.3 billion is spent annually fighting marijuana, not including the cost of prison management and construction. Or I might just end up saying, hey man, you know the facts. Let's fix this mess.
Weed.
That's hooey bally, hooey ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce. Even as the season begins to change, we're feeling a great change in the upswing for cannabis law reform, and no place more than beautiful Southern California, where every week we visit with the lovely and talented Terry Joyce. Welcome back, Terry.
Oh, hello. It's good to be here. Today's a good day.
It is a good day. And, recently the thing that's been a big note for the cannabis community in Southern California has got to be this announcement from the Attorney General Eric Holder, who clarified just the other day that unless a dispensary is breaking both federal and state law, the feds are going to keep their hands off it. You guys must be partying in the streets.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm partying right now. I have a whole household over here.
Well, that's great.
I think it's wonderful. The only thing is that I find is that I still have to deal with personal discrimination from people that I work for.
Really?
Just people that still just don't get it. You know, like if I try to explain, because they know that I'm a medical marijuana activist. They know I support it. And, they ask me questions like, how much for a lid? You know, stuff like this. And I'll be like, I don't know. I wasn't born then.
What's a lid?
I'm lying about that. But, I'm just like, I don't, what are you saying here? Yeah, just like, I'll say, it really helps people who have cancer and AIDS and, it might even help Alzheimer's. You could just go down the list of what happens. I don't want to hear about that. I don't believe in that. It's like, I compare marijuana to sex.
Yeah.
Because, it's like no matter how much we want to be sexually free, oftentimes someone's going to tell you how taboo it is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's the same thing with marijuana.
Yeah, and there's this intersection, it seems to me, between the worlds of both marijuana and, the other adult things, like we would talk about the adult entertainment industry or something like that, and they all seem to be in great support of cannabis, and I think your guest today is going to be a perfect person to talk about this intersection of marijuana and sex, so why don't you go ahead and take care of the introduction, and we'll discuss it further.
Well, my guest is comedian Jeffrey Peterson, and we had done the Dope Show together, and we did come up to Portland with the show. Both of us, since doing the Dope Show, have branched off into different areas of advocates for medical marijuana and just marijuana in general. Jeff is here to talk about a new magazine that he's launched.
All right.
Well, and Jeffrey Peterson.
Hey, Jeffrey Peterson. Hey. Welcome to the Stash.
It's great to be here, Radical Russ. You know, I was like toking with you.
Yeah.
Even if it's long distance. But Terry Joyce, I mean, I can't be in the presence of someone that I find more funny than Terry.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you.
Terry and I just have a blast together, and we have become powerful forces, independent of each other, and then we come together and just like. We're even more dynamic.
It's like Mentos and Diet Coke.
Yeah. it's like Pop Rocks and 7-Up.
There we go, baby. So tell us about your magazine.
Well, the magazine is called California Chronicle XXX, and it's a cannabis lifestyle magazine for the alternative cannabis culture. So this is for, this is for what happens after you get your medicine.
Ah, okay.
There's magazines that are available to people in Southern California and Northern California that are more clinical, more on the medical side. We definitely cover those issues, but you're also going to see hot porn stars smoking weed on the cover of our magazine.
Let's get right down to it, huh?
That's what the kids want.
It's all about the kids, yeah.
Well, what's interesting is in the porn business, you cannot have anybody smoking weed or acting like they're smoking weed or drinking alcohol because it's against the law to mix pornography with any other type of substance.
Really?
Someday we're going to get enough naked people together to change those laws.
I did not know that. That's fascinating. They can't mix alcohol, drugs, and pornography all in one movie.
Yeah.
It's against the law.
And Terry and I know firsthand, none of these porn stars ever do drugs. That's the whole thing, too. It's like Celebrity Rehab.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show, but, for God's sakes, don't clean up Mary Carey. I mean, we need our porn stars high. Keep that girl on drugs. The moment she realizes what she's doing, she's out.
It's a Reefer Madness myth. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, give her a drug and she's going to take her marijuana, she's going to take her clothes off.
Yeah.
You know, actually, we have to smoke marijuana to do with the guy that we have in front of us.
There we go.
I'm kidding.
The crazy thing about this magazine, though, is a year ago this month, I started West Coast Cannabis Magazine with my brother Dagwood and Ungai Obilam. And we kind of had an artistic disagreement. I wanted to go a little more hardcore. He wanted to go more clinical. And so here we are. And the great thing is we've kind of gotten a lot of, you know, conjecture from the cannabis industry, the cannabis culture in general. But the people that at the top of the chain, Jack Hare, Eddie Lepp, Bruce Margolin, Richard Eastman, you know, all these people have given us totally thumbs up, and they like our magazine because we're reaching an untapped area of the cannabis culture, if you will. So it's been fun to, you know, we have Terry Joyce is featured in our Talking Trash section, our comedian section this month, so that's awesome.
How can people get a copy of California Chronicle XXX? Are you on the web, and what are the newsstands? I mean, how do we get a copy?
Well, in Southern California, we distribute it. Right now, our circulation is we're at a very grassroots level, so our circulation is about 10,000 in the SoCal area. But we're rapidly growing, and we have a strong presence on the internet. You can just go to CaliforniaChronicleXXX.com, and every page is available every month. You can look at back pages. You can look at back issues. We're on our fifth issue right now. Our next issue, the Big 420 issue, is coming out with Allison Margolin, LA's dopest attorney, on the cover. And we've been getting some great opportunities to not only just distribute this magazine, but I put it in the hands of the people. I gave it to Dave Chappelle and Be Real from Cypress Hill. I just gave it to the Deftones the other day. You know, Ron Jeremy.
Excellent.
And not to mention the porn stars.
Yeah, well, and no, let's mention the porn stars because, you know, I've seen in other articles in the past and pictures and pictorials and such of lots of porn stars engaging in the herb. And is this more common than not that people in the porn industry are lovers of marijuana, or are they just
absolutely
like everyone else?
They are lovers of it.
It's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, and also, and I'm not going to really mention any names. But when we were putting our float together, you know, a lot of the money that came in and support was from the adult entertainment industry.
Hmm. Yeah, you
and
know,
they just
and
didn't advertise their names.
They have been very, very open to what we're doing, and they've embraced us. And you know what? I can name names, which is great, because the girls who've been part of this, Reagan Reese, who's on the cover right now, Shay Lynn, Marley Mason, Wanda Lust, these girls have all really wanted to perpetuate the fact that they use cannabis, you know. And what's great is we go to this event out here in L.A. called Porn Star Karaoke that our senior staff writer Tony Batman has. And at Porn Star Karaoke, we have just access to tons of the top names in the adult industry. And I'm kind of like the Pied Piper of weed. I walk into the club, just kind of raise my hand up, and about six, you know, hot porn stars will follow me out to the parking lot because they know I'm going to get them hot.
Well,
I'm really digging.
Your life really sucks, huh? Wow. So we hear a lot about the porn stars here and the marijuana. Let's look at it from the male side. Do the male porn stars mention any benefit, if you know what I mean, to using marijuana on set?
Oh, I see what you mean.
No, let me tell you. We had on our second issue, my buddy Ron Hightower, who was one of the world's, you know, highest paid porn stars next to Ron Jeremy at one point. He has told me, and other black porn stars in particular have told me, that it's like an aphrodisiac to them.
Yeah.
You don't need extends.
Nope.
No,
They call Kush the new Viagra.
Really?
Now, on the other hand, you know, whereas cocaine used to be a real enticement back in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
I call Kush the new Coke.
Aha.
A girl, you know, a certain type of girl now is like, I don't care what you, like, what other kind of drugs you got. You got some Kush.
Hmm.
They want the nugs.
Wow, that's amazing.
Coke made it. Coke makes you dysfunctional.
That's actually right.
Yeah.
And we want to have a lot of sex with our cannabis.
Doesn't sex, I mean, like, when you smoke weed and you have sex, it's great.
Yeah.
Well,
sex rule.
I've always subscribed to the notion that sex is kind of like pizza. When it's good, it's great. When it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, Jeffrey, before we wrap things up, is there anything else you want to tell us about the California Chronicle Triple X?
Well, we're just growing by leaps and bounds, and we're going to continue to, be the subversive grassroots underground voice for the cannabis industry and the culture at large. And Carrie is one of the kind of people that, we love to showcase because she gets it. I mean, by being in working with Hustler and doing 420 comedy and being an activist. I mean, these are the kind of people we want to uplift, and that's what we're going to continue to do. I invited Ungayo.
Go Larry Flint.
Go Larry. I'm going to consider myself the new, Hugh Hefner. I'm going to call myself Hugh Hempner. the magazine is going great. We're going to be taking it up to the PDX as soon as we can. Our intentions are within a year to be in San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Phoenix, and Vegas. We're trying to just showcase different rock bands and hip hop, reggae, anybody that's pushing the envelope with cannabis, we want to talk to, and that's what we're doing. And we thank you, Radical Russ, for helping us get the word out.
Yeah, glad to help any way I can. I look forward to getting a copy of the magazine. And Terry, anything else before we sign off?
That I'm really happy that everything's changing, I'm really happy with the Obama administration, I'm looking forward to seeing what else changes for us.
Jeffrey Peterson from California Chronicle Triple X. Check him out at CaliforniaChronicleXXX.com. And Terry Joyce is our Thursday sweetheart here at the Daily Audio Stash. You can catch her at ComedyNation.com. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's get high.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. On Rockin' Thursday during Mary Jane Music Week, we have Mitch and the Polecats rockin' song, what did you expect? Mary Jane. Mitch and the Polecats, nominees in 2007's Marijuana Music Awards, are four friends enjoying what they do best, which is playing great rock and roll music. After their first CD in 2005, What's Not to Love, they recorded Alive in Chicago with country blues artist Larry Bryant. The band recently released Swamp Womp, available at CD Baby. For more about the band, check out myspace.com/MitchandThePoleCats. And registered stashers, you can get yourself your own MP3 download of this tune. It's our Rockin' Thursday song, Mary Jane, by Mitch and the Polecats.
Mary Jane, Mary Jane, I need you cause I feel the pain, feel the pain. I'm my baby leaving, standing on the corner, looking for a corner. Has anybody seen my Mary Jane? Call again, call again. There's no answer and the telephone keeps on ringing. Standing on the corner looking for a corner. Has anybody seen my Mary Jane?
Support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at Normal, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
We hear a lot of news about the dispensaries in California, most recently with the announcement from Attorney General Eric Holder that they would no longer be raiding any dispensaries that were not in violation of both state and federal law. But a lot of people don't realize that the dispensary issue is something that also affects the state of Colorado, which is now having its own share of dispensaries that have cropped up. Pardon the pun. And to discuss that with us is Warren Edson. Welcome back to the show, Warren.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks for having me back.
Now, before we get to the issue of the dispensaries, you also had something you were telling me about a new website you're launching, Marijuana 101. Let's tell our listeners a bit about that.
Well, and it's kind of in conjunction with my own website, but we had one of these new dispensaries that is opening up on April 20th. Called the Peace in Medicine Center, has hooked up with Hans, who is the inventor of the Sia Green growing method, and author and DVD maker, and they're going to be offering classes both on the plant and the growing aspects, and then, but as part of the morning classes, I'll be teaching basically getting to know Amendment 20, a 101 on our medical marijuana amendment.
Oh, that's excellent. We always like to get more education out to the people. So if people want to get involved with this Marijuana 101, where do they go?
The current website we just put up a couple days ago is Medical Marijuana 101. It lists our current class, which is set for, I believe, Saturday, April 25th, and then we'll be developing it from there.
Oh, excellent. We hope that takes off there in the state of Colorado. And also this issue, like we were discussing at the beginning here, of the dispensaries in Colorado. A lot of people don't realize that Colorado does have dispensaries. Can you give us a little background on how these came to be and how they're going now?
Well, we've had a medical marijuana law in existence for quite a while now. We've always had a couple dispensaries. But over the last probably 6 months, it is really, really blossoming. I mean, we've always had Cannabis Therapeutics down in Colorado Springs and a couple others in the area. But we, as our patients, our numbers approach 10,000, we're over 30 storefront dispensaries in the state. Hmm. And we had a rather large one open in the edge of Denver, and we have two large ones opening in downtown Denver just in the next month.
Wow. And do you think a lot of this is spurred along by the change in administration and the seeming change in policy here with regard to dispensaries?
Certainly. It's a combination of our patient level all of a sudden doubling and tripling and quadrupling over the last year, combined with the fact that the change in administration, and particularly A.G. Holden's recent remarks that the feds were going to try to stay out of this provided everybody abided by state rules, I think, yes, has people more interested in getting involved in this, both as a business and a way to help patients.
That is so wonderful. Now, to what do you attribute the rapid increase in Colorado's patient registration?
You know, it's kind of like the snowball effect. One thing that a lot of people don't understand is to be a medical marijuana patient in Colorado, you really only need the recommendation of your doctor. You don't need the card. The card is kind of an extra bonus where you can pay the state and get an official-looking card that it makes it easier for you to deal with law enforcement and makes the dispensaries more comfortable to do business with you. So in the beginning, most of the people were concerned about being on the list.
The list, yeah.
Kind of did their own thing and didn't register. As we started to get dispensaries, it gave the patients a real reason to go get a card because it's easier for them to get in these dispensaries. And then that's kind of snowballed. The more patients we got, the more need for a dispensary. The more dispensaries we got, the more patients. Because I spoke at the Key West Normal Conference. I want to say it was November 2007, and we had about 1,700 patients on the state registry. You know, a year and a half later, I think we're at 6,000 people on the registry and about an additional 5,000 or 6,000 other patients.
Hmm.
So in over a year, we've more than doubled, tripled.
Yeah.
So.
That's an amazing story there. And, how is the public's reaction to the storefront dispensaries?
It has been amazingly positive. I think you guys are kind of aware we've had some very positive articles come out statewide. Essentially just detailing the fact that everybody seems to be abiding by the rules, paying their taxes, offering a tremendous service to these patients, as well as helping out the community. And so, you know, I'll keep knocking on wood, but we really haven't had a lot of bad press and very few complaints.
Well, that's great. And is there any estimate to how much sales tax revenue is generated by these dispensaries for the state?
Offhand, I don't know yet. I'd hate to guesstimate just because my number could be way off.
Yeah.
But I know that most of these folks, if not all of these folks, are paying their taxes.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a similar situation as what we've seen in California, where the prohibitionists will claim all these doom and gloom scenarios that'll happen if the dispensaries come in. And it turns out to be quite the opposite. They're good business neighbors. They clean up their neighborhoods. They run respectable businesses and they pay their taxes just like anybody would expect you for a regular, you know, any other business.
You got it.
Well, one thing that we found in California also was that it was kind of a Wild West situation at the very beginning where no one was really clear about what the guidelines were. And then there was Senate Bill 420, and then there was Jerry Brown, the Attorney General's guidelines there in California to help the dispensaries understand how to operate. Is there a similar sort of situation in Colorado? Is there any sort of regulations that have been promulgated yet?
Well, it's a little sort of different here because it is part of our Constitution.
Oh.
So it is a little harder to modify. Not to get overly lawyerly, but I think technically only really a judge or a vote of the people could change the actual wording or redefine the words in our amendment. However, recently the Department of Health has proposed five what they call rulemaking changes to the program, primarily focusing on trying to limit caregivers to only helping five patients. Mm. As well as adopting a California mensch-like definition of caregiver here. We were supposed to have a big old meeting on the 18th, just yesterday, March 18th. However, because the Department of Health now realizes how many people are going to show up at this meeting to voice their dissent, they've decided to put this off indefinitely until they can find a bigger venue.
Yeah, Pepsi Center, maybe?
Excuse me?
The Pepsi Center, maybe?
Actually, the Fillmore Auditorium has actually been discussed.
Wow.
But the problem there is it's not big enough. We do anticipate more than 2,000 people.
That's amazing.
And that really creates a problem because you almost get to a Pepsi Center-like venue.
Wow. It's amazing what's happening in Colorado with medical marijuana. You know, and I'm surprised it doesn't get as much coverage as it gets from California. Why do you think that is? Why does the media kind of not pay much attention to what's happening in Colorado?
Well, simply put, and I don't mean to offend any of my clients, but we're boring. You know, everybody's kind of following the rules and nobody's doing anything super crazy and there haven't been any problems. So it's not really a newsworthy story other than these folks are selling medical marijuana and paying their taxes.
Has there been any federal interference with your dispensaries there?
I will keep knocking on wood, but no. We are lucky enough not to have federal interference in Colorado, and hopefully that will not be coming.
Wow, this is good news all around in this story. I'm really happy to have spoken to you today, Warren.
Oh, thanks, Russ. It's been really interesting. I mean, just in the last month, I've spoken with members of Denver Vice, Loveland, Colorado Vice, Fort Collins, Colorado Vice, Broomfield, Colorado Vice, and the Lakewood City Attorney's Office, all letting them know these dispensaries are coming, they're moving into their towns, and trying to work with the local authorities, and it's been shockingly positive.
Hmm. Well, I hope to hear more positive good news coming out of Colorado from you. Warren Edson, a member of the Normal Legal Committee, thanks for joining us here on The Stash.
Thanks, Russ. I hope to see you in June and to Aspen at the Normal Conference.
I will be there. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our audio stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes brought to you by our own Mr. Spoff. This one is from Justice Louis Brandeis, the former Supreme Court Justice, who said, quote, "It is one of the happy incidents of the federal system that a single courageous state may, if its citizens choose, serve as a laboratory and try novel social and economic experiments without risk to the rest of the country." End end quote. And no better laboratory than California to pass the legalization of marijuana with Assembly Bill 390. Let's start it there in California and just see what happens. When the sky doesn't fall, you can bet a whole bunch of revenue-hungry states will be lining up for their share of the cannabis pie. Cannabis pie. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. I'm Radical Russ, and we'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until that time, take care of each other, tokers.